Hi, this is May.
And I'm Joy.
Welcome to the QWERTY Writing Life podcast, where we have candid chats about our creative lives.
May and I are friends, writers, and creatives who want to share our endeavors out loud.
On this podcast, we're here to encourage each other, and you too.
And share tools we've discovered or made up.
So you can follow your passions with a little support. So grab your tea.
Or your coffee.
And let's get started. And today we're going to have yet another bit of talk about emotional readiness. This is kind of piggybacking on our emotional readiness series that we were, Is two episodes a series?
Well, we're on episode four, so hey.
But the last two have been about emotional readiness specifically, I guess.
True.
But anyway, that doesn't matter. We're going to be talking today about being able to unbiasedly and honestly evaluate your own work without any kind of beefing it up or tearing it down unnecessarily. That's what we're going to do. But first, we're going to talk about our creative week. So, Joy, what did you do?
Okay, so this past week, I actually did a little bit of design stuff. Now, I am not a super great designer. I don't claim to be. May is way better at that kind of stuff than I am. But here's what happened to me. So I have a blog. I blog at Logos and Mythos is my blog name. And I got to thinking about book reviews. Okay. And so this is how this all came about. Like, how should we write book reviews? And my biggest thing is I've actually had some experiences, firsthand experiences with book reviews actually affecting me and some of my writing for the first time. So this is a whole brand new experience for me. And so through all of this, I've really been paying closer attention to the book reviews that I see on Goodreads and on different things like that. And what I'm noticing is there are a lot of really bad book reviews. And it's not just that some of them are poorly written, but some of them, I mean, they're just kind of not really talking about the book. Some of them actually end up becoming bashing the author who the person doesn't even know. And so it ends up having nothing to do with the book itself. So the big thing is it's not helpful for other readers to see if they would want to read this book or not. So that's kind of what it all came down to. So I found myself starting to say to people, leave a kind review. And like, I knew in my head what I meant by that. I didn't just mean be super nice and not say anything bad. That's not what I meant.
Yeah.
So I knew what I meant, but I thought, you know what? I probably need to explain what I mean by this. So when I started thinking it through, I was like, okay, I'm going to come up with an acrostic because I love acrostics. So I was like, okay, kind, K-I-N-D. Well, I got into it and I ended up with two N's. So this all kind of exploded from here and I ended up with three blog posts out of this. And from there, I created a graphic to show what each of my letters means. And I made a PDF to kind of help people when they sit down to write their book review. Okay, let me hit these points. And so I thought, well, this is a nice, easy PDF. They can print it out. They can stick it by their computer or put it in their book or whatever they want to do. And so that's where it came from.
That's so cool. You innovator, you.
It was totally by accident. But I mean, no, I meant to do it. I totally meant to do this.
Yes, that's what we would tell ourselves. Well, I also did a little bit of designing this week. So we decided that the QWERTY Writing Life podcast needed a logo. So I pulled up the old trusty publisher and made a logo, and that was super fun though. And Joy and I got to work together on it. We were brainstorming and tweaking through text messages and stuff. So it was almost like she was there. So we came up with this really cute typewriter with the QWERTY writing in typewriter keys and life on the space bar. And I think it turned out super cute. I had a lot of fun working on it and I hope that you guys like it. But more importantly, I hope that Joy likes it.
I do.
She has to live with it, at least until we can hire somebody who can do it professionally.
I love it.
So, So that's what I did. And I also had lunch this week with another writer, and she, like, out of the blue, I love this about her, because I am such an introvert in so many ways. She got my phone number from a friend, a mutual friend, and she invited me to her writer's group. Well, I've not been able to make it because I have, you know, the two kids, and it's at night, and it's on a Monday, and it's tough. But she, every week, has contacted me and asked me if we could maybe do coffee or have a lunch or something like that. So we finally got to do that this week, and she's wonderful. She's so great. She has a typewriter, too, and she carries it to, like, farmers markets and festivals, like craft festivals, and she writes poetry right there on the spot, custom poetry. She sits and talks to people. I know, she learns about people, and then she writes this a beautiful haiku for them, and she types it up on her typewriter on old school library cards. And it's just so sweet and personal and just very thoughtful. And that's, I think that all of those adjectives are exactly what describes Rachel as well. So I'm very pleased to have a new friend, and I hope that it goes into a very long relationship. And I hope also to be able to be a part of her writer's group, because it sounds like it's a really, just really comforting and creative environment that I probably need to be around other people anyway. So.
Oh, I love it. I can't wait to meet her.
Yes, and if you guys ever want to go see any of her stuff, she has a website, and she's also on Instagram at So Writes Rachel, and it's RACHAEL.
Awesome. Yeah. Can't wait to check it out. I'm going to follow her as soon as we get done with this.
Oh, yes, you should. She's great. So our topic today is going to be how to evaluate your own body of work or your own piece of work in an unbiased, honest way. And I think Joy is probably the perfect, absolute perfect person to talk about this, because she kind of has to do this thing on a weekly, if not daily, basis. Joy is a homeschool teacher. She teaches both of her children, who are wonderful, and who loves their children more than a mother, right? Who wants their children to succeed more than a mother? So whenever there is a test or there is an essay or there's a drawing or whatever it is that is assigned to them that comes back to Joy, she's probably the one who's going to want it to be the best and want to see the best in it. And sometimes that's not what they need. You know, that's not what the student needs, and because they also need to grow as well. And we need to grow too whenever we're doing creative endeavors. So Joy, I think, has really got a good idea about how we can maybe learn to do this without, before we take it to other people, maybe do a self-evaluation. And I'm going to leave it up to you now.
Oh, wow. All right. So, so with my kids and with homeschooling, I mean, you're right. It's a challenge because I think sometimes we're probably the hardest on them. But we also, like you said, want them to succeed. So yes, I am probably a tougher grader than maybe they would get from other teachers. But I think that it's all part of also knowing them. So I know when one of my kids is being lazy. I know when they're not giving their all. So there's that aspect as well. And I know when I need to nudge them a little bit more. And I also know when they maybe are having some troubles that they need a little bit more help with. So I think that that's also a benefit of really knowing your students. So, and I know this is the same for great teachers, you know, not just homeschool moms, but great teachers who are really involved with their students. They can see this, and they get to know their students and know when to push and when to guide and know the difference. And I think it's one thing that's been interesting is in working with my son, who loves to write, and he constantly wants me to edit his stuff. And it's funny because there's been this giant evolution with him over just really with this past school year. With in the beginning, he was very against editing. He's like, why do I need to be edited? I'm perfect. I don't need that. It was this whole big thing. And I was like, oh my word. Like, what am I?
Where do I go from here?
I know. It was horrible. It was like, you know, mom nightmares right there. But then it was interesting because I got him, and I cannot remember what the thing was. I can't remember if it was something for school or if it was something that he was just writing. But whatever it was, I got a hold of it, and I showed him how to edit and gave it back to him. And I could see the little wheels turning, you know, and he was like, huh, okay. And he took it off, you know, and then he rewrote it. And then he came back and he's like, this is better. This is a lot better. And then the next time he wrote something, he self-edited. May and I are, May is looking to go in kind of the hybrid direction. So traditional publish and possibly some indie publish as well. And I'm planning on going straight indie publishing. I mean, who knows what can be in the future, but I mean, for the foreseeable future, that's my plan. And so for anyone who is either way, but especially if you're doing indie, you are really relying on yourself as the final word in a lot of things. And so to learn how to critique your own stuff is super important. But it doesn't start with you. It starts just like my son did by watching me and by listening to me. He is able to do it for himself now. And it's the same thing with us.
So I guess step one is putting your hubris in check, like putting your own pride in check. Yeah, like if you're seeing that there are no problems with whatever you've created, and there's no place to improve, like he thought at the very beginning, then there you already know that's not true. So, and from there you can kind of maybe reevaluate your attitude and toward your creativity and your skill and that and where you are for your medium. Or you can maybe seek help outside from somebody who is a little more knowledgeable, more of a mentor situation, and ask them to edit or critique or, you know, just what do you think about this, you know, and get some really good feedback. But really be able to take it to heart and to understand that everything can be improved upon, even the most perfect book that we could pick out ever in the world, the perfect painting or something. There's always something that can be improved upon. So if we can't find our own issues, then seek help to see where we can improve.
In addition to May, I'm so thankful. I've got three other critique partners. And sometimes when you have that many, it can feel a little overwhelming. But I kind of started a little trick. This last round of revisions, what I did is I laid out all four of my critique partners' feedback, and I kind of went through them, and I had different marks. I had highlighters for certain things. I had different kinds of marks that I used for different kinds of critique. And so I started to notice some patterns, and a lot of times, and this is going to be my first thing that I really learned about how to critique myself, was a lot of times you'll be reading your stuff and you'll know something's not right, but either you're too lazy to fix it or you don't want to admit that it's not that great.
Okay, I've been there
all the time. But 9 times out of 10, those same spots where I knew I stopped and I was like, something's not right, but I'm gonna just keep going, at least 2 of my critique partners noted it. And so at that point, you can't ignore it because your critique partner is like, you're like, okay, yeah, all right, you're right.
So the next thing would be to trust your gut then.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And don't be lazy.
Exactly. Don't be lazy.
Yeah.
Whether you're my kids or an adult, that's a huge challenge for us all, I think.
Yes.
Is to just give in to that, because I've done this so many times. I'll get to a scene and I'm like, it's good. It's good.
It's good enough.
It's good enough. We're good. I'm tired. where's the chocolate? There are points where I'm working on something and I'm just done. I'm ready to move on to the next thing. I want to go get some chocolate. I want to stop sitting in front of my computer. I want to do something else. But if I keep myself focused and I really listen to that gut, the Gibbs gut. All right, see, I'm going to reference NCIS a lot.
Explain what the Gibbs gut is to the people. Okay.
If you haven't watched NCIS, you really should. Do I need to explain anymore? Okay, so Leroy Jethro Gibbs is the leader of the NCIS team.
He has his own name!
Of course I do. And he does the Gibbs slap, and it's the best. Oh my gosh, he's amazing. Anyway, a fangirl slightly. So, yeah, trust your gut. You have to learn to trust your gut. And so once you realize that and you start to see those patterns and you start to see where there are certain things that you can do better, do it. You know, don't shy away from it. Just do it. So I think that that's probably the first thing that I really latched on to when it came to evaluating my own work.
But being honest with ourselves is so important too. And if we're just being lazy, which is like 80% of the time for me, let's just be honest. I'd have to be honest with myself and say, you know, Megan, are you using this really busy, hectic day? That wasn't bad, but it was just really busy and hectic to not write tonight. Is there something more?
You know, sometimes it's that emotional thing. You know, we all have different mental states, emotional things. And I do think that creatives tend to be more emotional. And when we do the things that we do, we are literally pouring our emotions into what we're creating, which yes. therefore makes us more emotional. So we're going to probably struggle with that then more than a lot of people in whatever jobs they do, because it's not something that you really pull your emotions into for. Yeah. So we do have to be aware of that. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, and I have found this with myself. In fact, I had one of these scenes earlier this week. I'm working on revisions. And in this one particular scene, for whatever reason, I cannot figure out. I feel like I'm doing way too much telling instead of showing, mm-hmm. but I can't figure out how to flip that in this particular mm-hmm. scene. And so you're going to hit those. And if you can figure out that it's an issue where you're not sure how to handle it and you don't have the tools in your arsenal to do it, then that's an opportunity for you to step away for a little bit and do some research, look up mm-hmm. some stuff, try to find out, see if you can get some tips on how to, you know, go about it in a better way. So,
and that's seeking help too. And I think that's important. And I also think it's important for us to not necessarily be so isolated. Mm-hmm. So when we do get stuck, maybe we just need to see some people.
That's true.
And talk to people.
Yeah. And so, and when you do have critique partners that you can go to, you know, because they've read your work, like if you're to that point where they've already read something of yours, then you could say, hey, you remember this thing? Okay, this is what I'm thinking, but it's not working right. What do you think? You know, and they'll kind of come into it knowing a little bit, and they can help you out. And so that's where having that community behind you is so important and just awesome.
Yeah, and I think this advice is so universal for a ton of creative outlets.
So I think, are we to our QWERTY challenge?
We are past our QWERTY challenge, so okay. Let's just go ahead and do it, right?
All right, so, and this will be super quick, because remember what we told you guys last week was to do something creative, to create something that you were having self-doubt with. So now we told you to sit it to the side for a week, mm-hmm. let it marinate, and now we're going to tell you what to do with it next.
Yeah, so when you pull it out and you look at it and you think, oh my goodness, this is so perfect, I'm such a great creative, that's probably partly right.
I love how you said that.
It might be time for somebody else to look at it there. And also it's time for you to, if you do ask somebody else to look at it, to be open to their opinion and to their thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. Preferably ask somebody who might have some experience in that medium and who might be able to give you some constructive critique. for that. Now, if you're looking at it and you only see wrong, then you also need to find somebody to be honest with you, because chances are that's not right. There's always going to be something good and something to work on in anything that you create. And you're always going to be able to improve because you're learning every moment, and you've already learned something because you've done something already. And so if you see everything right, go get some help. If you see everything wrong, go get some help. If you're feeling like there's not something quite right about it, but you're pleased, you know, it's okay, you're pleased, then look into that thing that you're feeling that you're not quite right. Go with your Gibbs gut and try to figure out, like, pinpoint what that is. If you are able to pinpoint it, then maybe try to correct it, or produce something new that that fixes that issue.
Yeah, just keep going. Don't stop. You're never going to write something or create something that isn't beneficial, even if you don't end up using it.
So, exactly. Yes. You never fail in that kind of thing because it's all practice.
Absolutely.
You're getting better with everything that you do. Even though that moment, it might feel like a failure because you put it in the trash can or you don't show it to anyone or anything, but you learn something from that moment. Yes. Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. That was good. That's good stuff.
I think we all need that reminder from time to time.
I agree. Especially on those downer days. Yeah. So go into the week and do something creative.
Yes. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Thanks for listening until the end.
Seriously, you're a trooper.
Do you think Pretty Writing Life is the bomb?
May, you just said the bomb.
Don't you censor me.
If you think QWERTY Writing Life rocks ice for real,
oh my word,
please rate, review, and share us with others.
If you have questions about this week's episode or want to start a conversation, you can reach us by visiting QWERTYWritingLife.podbean.com.
We'll be back next week with more candid chats for you.